good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on the Dove AM Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in this evening. Stick around. We have quite a bit on the rundown for you tonight. Some sound from Crazy John McCain, from Colin Powell. Also, I believe tonight we're going to have Bridget Speaks, first one we've had in quite some time. And we seldom do this, but there seems to be two breaking news stories as the program is starting tonight. First, if you've been watching any cable news, you've heard that Barack Obama is going to miss several campaign events this Thursday and Friday to go to Hawaii to visit his ailing grandmother, is the way it's being reported. I believe she just got out of the hospital. That's according to his campaign. This is the woman who for all intents and purposes, spent an awful lot of energy raising Barack Obama, spent a lot of time with his grandmother. And reports are that the situation is extremely dire for his grandmother. And secondly, this is being reported by Press TV online. A vessel belonging to the U.S. Navy has reportedly caught fire in the northern Persian Gulf near the Iraqi port city of two port cities of Al-Bakr and Al-Amaya. And four military sources said Monday night that the U.S. Navy had secretly moved the vessel to the coast of Kuwait after the fire broke out. This is according to Iran's Arabic language TV channel Al-Alam. The source did not rule out the possibility that a blast had started the fire on the vessel that was said to be, quote, one of the four U.S. warships in the region, end quote. The U.S. military has not yet commented on the report. So watch for that story, right? The results of McCain and Palin's hatred towards towards Barack Obama, the stirring up, I should say, of the hatred among the people who attend the rallies is starting to manifest more and more. It's becoming more and more blatant, white people who are getting really, truly out of control. Of course, they're being stirred up and egged on by the scum in the society, including Limbaugh and Michelle Bachmann and, you know, the rest of these people, the usual crew. The latest report that we have is from Caledonia, Wisconsin. Police in that city are investigating the assault of a Barack Obama campaign volunteer as she was canvassing for the candidate Saturday afternoon. Channel 12 News, which I believe is an ABC affiliate in Caledonia, I think it's in Caledonia, said that 58-year-old Nancy Takahara of Chicago was going door-to-door when she came across a disgruntled homeowner. Ms. Takahara said, quote, "The next thing I know, he's telling us we're not his people. We're probably with Acorn." And he started screaming and raving. He grabbed me by the back of the neck. I thought he was going to rip my hair out of my head. He was pounding on my head and screaming. The man terrified me, end quote. The man eventually stopped, and the Caledonia police were called. Takahara was asked if she needed medical assistance, but she was not seriously injured, she said. She said after the assault, quote, "This stuff has to stop. We're all Americans. This is all about protecting our democracy, not about attacking each other," end quote. Oh, God. Takahara was encouraged when she had a message waiting at home from Barack Obama. Takahara called back, and she and the senator talked one-on-one. Takahara said, "Senator Obama understood. It was wonderful. It made me feel wonderful. It made me feel connected to this government again." Police tell Channel 12 News that they're still investigating and will forward the complaint to the Racine County District Attorney's Office after it's completed. This is reported by WISN, Channel 12. But isn't that like a Democrat who is assaulted by a crazed white man, supporter of McCain and Palin, and says, she then says, "This has to stop. We're all Americans. This is about protecting our democracy, not about attacking each other." We have something for you. I wouldn't be surprised if it was this woman, Tracy Curley. She's supposed to be a Christian. This was on the PBS program Now with Bill Moyers. The reporter was interviewing people who were undecided. This woman's husband is undecided, but she has made up her mind as to who she's going to vote for.
What's the most important issue for you in this election? The one who has the most faith in the Lord? That's make or break for you. That should be make and break for everybody. And when you hear people saying, well, we understand your faith, but what if you're going to vote against your husband's interests as an American worker? The Lord will take care of us. That's the way I look at things.
For Tracy Curley, this election is not so much about policies as it is about values. She says she doesn't feel like Barack Obama shares her conservative religious worldview.
I can't imagine having a president of the United States being named President Obama. I really have a problem with that, and I am not the only one.
Because that means what to you?
His background. A mother that was atheist. Oh, that really gets to me. A father that was a Muslim. That should get to everyone.
And when Barack Obama and his wife, Michelle, say, but we're faith-based, we're Christians.
The church they were members of? That's not the Christianity I know. That's not the Christianity that's in the Bible.
And so for you, you are firmly decided.
Definitely.
And what do you say to your husband who is still on the fence?
I will pray for him.
Yeah, Barack Obama's denomination is not the Christianity that's in the Bible. The Christianity that's in the Bible is all about blood and death and incest and murder and genocide and sickness and daughters having sex with their father and butchering people and a jealous psychopathic God who sounds like a drunk sailor out looking for whores. That's the kind of religion, apparently, that Tracy Curley likes. Now, what is Barack Obama and Michelle Obama's denomination, Kathy? What are they, Presbyterian or Methodist or Church of God? Or? But that's not the Christianity that's in my Bible. And the term values, the person who sent this to me, added a little postscript. Tracy has every right to feel the way she does, but she shouldn't be represented as being a values voter. Come up with something else. Being an atheist is a value just as much as being an evangelical or whatever religion you practice. I can't imagine somebody with the name President Obama. Well, that's not his name, sweetheart. That's his title and his last name. And you better get used to it. And if it's, you know, if it's too much for you to deal with, I think normal people would understand if you leave the country or go sit in your basement for the next 8 years, or I don't know. Of course, the sad part is, Tracy, Barack Obama's policies will probably make sure your husband gets working again and make sure that you can continue to practice your twisted religion. Oh, God. And if you, we'll post the link to that. You can take a look at Tracy and decide if this is somebody who, you know, has all her marbles still in the bag. All right, when we come back, John McCain. Insane John McCain on Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
We ask his help in everything we do. Now we got freedom of religion. I reckon that means that we must tolerate the atheist and Jew. But Jesus is the man and our salvation. And every war we wage is in his name. We think his Bible should be taught in every nation. And we'll bomb anyone who doesn't feel the same. Welcome to Jesus' land. Where we all love thy neighbor, if thy neighbors understand. We won't let too many Mexicans across the Rio Grande. Welcome to Jesus' land.
mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people. It's more Mike Malloy.
I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't hate them. You know, I had had an interesting moment of weird clarity over the weekend. Kathy and I went up to the North Georgia Mountains for another one of these unending fall festivals. They really love that stuff down here, which is great with us because lots of artists and musicians and craftspeople get together for these fairs, these mountain fairs, and they come from all over North Georgia. A lot of them come from Atlanta. Some come from Chattanooga, North Carolina, South Carolina. But we went to Dahlonega, Georgia. Dahlonega's fame was gold was discovered there a year before it was discovered in 1849 in California. It was discovered in Dahlonega, Georgia in 1848, and there was a mini gold rush here in the South, here in Georgia. And there are still up there a couple of places where you can sluice for gold nuggets if you care to. They'll give you a pan, and the water comes cascading out of a mountain, a lot of debris, and you can whatever you find is yours. Of course, you got to, I don't know, it costs like $5-$10 to do it for an hour. But anyway, we went to Dahlonega, and parked about, I guess Dahlonega is probably a town, a mountain town of maybe 3,000-4,000 people. It's only about an hour north of Atlanta, not that far, hour and a half maybe, about 90 miles, I guess. And beautiful. Oh, my God, it's beautiful up there. Beautiful. We went up to look at the leaves, too, which are starting to turn here in Georgia. I realize in the northern tier states, you all have had your peak color, and it's probably just about gone. But it's just starting here in Georgia. So it was a twofold purpose to go up there for the festival, but also to look at the beginnings of the autumn color that can be spectacular here in Appalachia. So we get there, and the first thing, we parked about three blocks from the town square and got Molly out, and the three of us were walking up. And, of course, we look like everybody else. We're white, and we can talk funny, so we fit right in. You very seldom see any black folk at these kinds of events. That's just the way it is. You know, you can credit that to whatever weirdness you want to credit it to, but you very seldom. There were thousands and thousands of people there. Had a big stage set up near the town square where they did a lot of clogging. No, that's not what happens in your drain if you don't clean the hair out of the bathtub before you pull the plug out. Clogging is a form of dance. We had some great barbecue, had some corn on the cob on a stick. We were there about 20 or 30 minutes, and all of a sudden, six or seven middle-aged ladies, probably 50s up to their late 60s, came walking by, and they all had on pink T-shirts. And we were sort of behind them, and I thought, well, it's a breast cancer awareness group or a Susan Conan group getting ready for, to go to their booth, hand out literature. And one of them turned around and said McCain Palin on the front. And Kathy and I looked at these 7, 8, 10, 12, I don't know, it was a pretty good clutch, like a bunch of hens, you know, just across the town square. And they all had on McCain Palin T-shirts. And I thought to myself, you know, what? I wonder why these particular women are backing McCain and the hoe from Wasilla. And all throughout the little town, you would see McCain, Palin signs. We honestly did not see one Obama Biden sign in the entire town, which is certainly understandable. This is the North Georgia Mountains, and people are just simply not known up there for being politically aware. They are known for doing exactly what their fundamentalist preachers tell them to do, or what they hear on Fox News Channel, the ones that have satellite or cable television, and it's understandable why their point of view is what it is. But it occurred to me something like not quite an epiphany, but how different they and I, all these people in Dahlonega, Georgia, and then on the other side, just for the sake of argument, Kathy and me and Molly. Well, let's leave Molly out of it. Kathy and me, and an awful lot of people, I'm sure, who were there from Atlanta, from cosmopolitan Atlanta. Although it was interesting, this is a majority black city. And yet black folks just don't attend these events. And again, I assume it's because they just don't like to deal with that. You know, why deal with it? They live in a city, black folk here in Atlanta, that just is a cultural mecca for African Americans. So why go up in the mountains and hang out with a bunch of rednecks? And again, we go because of the beauty of the countryside and also the festival, the fair, the art that's available. But it occurred to me how different from these people. These are the people that I sit here and talk about on my program and call them dumbasses and sons of bitches and people destroying the country and how could they do this and who in the hell could vote for McCain and Palin. And there they were. You know, there they all are. Very seldom do I see anyone with a McCain Palin t-shirt in the area where I live. I'm not saying we don't have McCain supporters around here someplace, but they pretty much keep to themselves, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, there it was. There I was in a crowd of probably 10,000-12,000 people who had come to this festival. And all around me, the townspeople, and they were easily identifiable, trust me, who were McCain supporters, Palin supporters. And I thought to myself, you know, these are people that I rhetorically disemboweled during the week, and here I am hanging out with them. It was just bizarre.
I don't hear liberals talking to me. I don't see things their way. Yeah, I'm on the right side. I'm on the right side. The only side.
Got the flying monkey right blues? Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. Yeah, it was a beautiful weekend in the North Georgia Mountains. And just to close off that topic, as we walked around through the town square, they have a courthouse there. It was built in 1846. And the side streets that go off the square. And they had a little train that was pulled by a tractor, and Molly and I got on it while Kathy went to look at some of the stuff, you know, looking for Christmas gifts to send to the kids, grandkids and stuff. And so Molly and I rode the train, and it was wonderful, except for the undercurrent that I could sense, maybe because I know what a McCain-Palin t-shirt represents. I know what these yard signs represent. But again, it made me focus on what I do, you know, for a living. And how I say, every night that I'm on the air, I point out how much contempt I have for people, just like these 8, 9, 10, 12 middle-aged women walking around in the McCain-Palin t-shirts. And they just look, without the McCain-Palin t-shirt, they look like church ladies or people that work at the library or, you know, civic-minded women who would be doing their damnedest to make the Dahlonega, Georgia Gold Rush Days Festival a success. You know, helping little kids find the bathroom or, you know, jumping into the ice cream booth and dipping a few ice cream cones for folks, for the Flatlanders that had come up for the festival. But the undercurrent to me was just this tension. And it made me realize how sick I am of all this, how just absolutely sick of it. That something as beautiful as a day in the North Georgia Mountains in the middle of October. Hell, I think the temperature was like, what, 66 degrees, Kathy? Not a cloud in the sky. It was beautiful. Leaves turning colors, small town. And yet, the sense I had was I was in a Twilight Zone episode, that I had walked through some sort of, you know, warp in space-time and wound up in what appeared to be this normal, happy, pleasant little burg up in the North Georgia Mountains. But I don't know. It just brought home, I guess, the pain that I feel all the time. It's constantly there about my country, my society. I can pick any subject for discussion and instantly get the pain in the heart, pain in the gut, pain in the head. Metaphorically speaking, sometimes physically too, but just about how things have just been so screwed up by the bigotry and the ugliness and the Republicans. I kept thinking about Newt Gingrich's word list, how 14 years ago he instructed Republican office seekers how to label someone like me as being unpatriotic, un-American, anti-family. And I think to myself, what the goddamn hell did I ever do to you, Newt? Was your power trip that important that you would demonize half of this country? Why didn't you just go somewhere and masturbate? Wouldn't that have felt better than what you did, you scumsucker? So, here we are. Here we are. And regarding the woman, the soundbite we played for you just a couple of minutes ago, Roz writes, since I saw that, she wrote in, I saw that program with Bill Moyers. I also saw that poor, ignorant woman, so uneducated and gullible. It is pathetic, but frightening, too, to realize that there exists in this day and age these backward, superstitious, and very dangerous people. They remind me of the type that burned witches, the type that can be whipped into a frenzy very easily. I don't believe that woman has even a passing acquaintance with Christ. I can't stand Republicans. They love to play that old game of divide and conquer. And Rob writes in, Mike, about the same, apparently Rob saw it too. Mike, the sad thing is people like the nut interviewed on PBS will not leave the country. No. Instead, they start reforming the militia movement. Remember those great old days during the 90s? Waco, Ruby Ridge, Oklahoma City, abortion clinic bombings, Olympic bombing, and on and on. Remember the Falwell-funded movies about cocaine being run through MENA, Arkansas? The Clintons killed Vince Foster and two teenagers? I remember it well, Mike. If the Republicans get control of either branch of Congress, Obama will be under investigation faster than you can say, "Stop the socialist black man!" They will obstruct, blow up, and shoot up, all in the name of Jesus. I've got to stop being so damn sensitive. I really do. I really do. I got to stop being seduced by a beautiful fall afternoon in the North Georgia mountains and hanging out with my four-year-old. She said to me tonight, I was drying her hair after a bath, and she, if you've got kids or grandkids or nieces and nephews, you've had these moments. You know, I'm drying her hair, running the brush through her hair, and she's making those crazy little noises that four-year-olds make. She had her back to me, and just all of a sudden I had an overwhelming need to just lean over and kiss her on the top of her head. Now, granted, it's my daughter, but, it's just like, oh, my God, the innocence and the love in that child. And she turned around and looked at me and kind of smiled, and she said, I love you too, Daddy. I love everybody in the world. I love the, what did she say, Kathy? I love the Chinese. I love the, what was the,
The people in Florida.
The people. She didn't say that. She said, I love the Chinese. I love, and then she said some other nationality, and I'm thinking to myself, how does she know about that? Whatever. But here's a four-year-old kid, like most four-year-olds, there's nothing unique about Molly, like most four-year-old kids, your grandkids, your daughter, your son, your niece, your nephew, they're uncorrupted. Well, unless they are living in a family that teaches them from the get-go that, God is this fanged beast that will devour them and send them into hell forever if they don't do this and that and this and that. But if they're not poisoned with that stuff, and if they're not abused, and if they're not yelled at, if they're not, if they're just treated like little kids, they're all just full of this innocent love and respect for what they see. They're also, they can be snotty and self-centered and creepy little kids. We know that. We know that. We parents know that. And sometimes they really try your patience. But in those moments where it just spills out of them. I love everybody, Daddy. I like the Chinese and the... She says something else. I don't know what it was. Oh, Lord, what to do? What to do? See, that's why Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. That's why. That's why. And I'm reminded of that. You know, sometimes I wish I could go along with the superstition and the religious stuff, you know, the good part of Christianity, because it would be great fun, wouldn't it? You know, to realize that the message, if there was a Jesus, what he said was, you know, honesty and decency and innocence and love and so on and so forth. Oh, well. All right, McCain, insane McCain on Fox News with Chris Wallace. Not sounding very convincing. First, McCain says he loves being the underdog, and losing in all the polls is exactly what he wants. Yeah, we're right where we want to be. Yes, sir. But then he attacks Obama for raising too much money and hints at a Watergate-like financing scandal. Ooh, Watergate. Let me say Watergate, huh? The attacks never stop with these people. Never. Chris Wallace says, according to the latest RealClearPolitics.com average of national polls, you trail Obama by 7 points, 50 to 43. And the latest electoral map from Karl Rove has Obama leading in states with 313 electoral votes, 43 more than he needs to win the presidency. Senator McCain, aren't you in a world of trouble?
Are we behind? Sure. I'm the underdog. I've been the underdog in a number of races, and we're very happy with the way the campaign is going. It's going to be tough. Sure, it's tough. I mean, Senator Obama raised $150 million, I understand, during the month of September, completely breaking whatever idea we had after Watergate to keep the costs and spending on campaigns under control. First time since the Watergate scandal.
What is?
I can tell you this. That is unleashed now in presidential campaigns, a new flood of spending that will then cause a scandal, and then we will fix it again.
Uh-huh.
Finally, there's $200 million of those campaign contributions. There's no record. They're not reported. You can report online now. $200 million that we don't know where the money came from. And with a lot of strange things going on in this campaign.
Hey, jackass, that's because if you contribute under, what is it, $100? You don't have to report it, you dork. Oh, my God. You're losing because more people support Obama with their votes and their pocketbooks. What's fishy about that, McCain, McCrazy? There's $200 million, no record, it's not reported. Because it doesn't have to be, jackass. So this is the first time since 1974 that a candidate has collected a lot of money? Oh, dear God, everything has gone straight to hell, hasn't it? Ooh, oh, John. Now, to his credit, Wallace calls McCain on this suggestion that Obama campaign is doing something illegal like Watergate. We'll have that for you as soon as we come back. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
Talk radio right from the left. It's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 9 before the hour. All right, so Chris Wallace calls McCain, calls him out on the suggestion that the Obama campaign is doing something illegal, like Watergate illegal, because they're getting campaign contributions. Wallace says, Senator, you said in the last debate, and you mentioned it again here today, you compared Senator Obama's campaign to Richard Nixon's spending in Watergate, saying, quote, this is the greatest amount of spending in a presidential campaign since Nixon and Watergate, end quote. As best as I can tell, Senator Obama is not doing anything illegal, and I know I know the thing you're talking about, which is individual $200 contributions he's not listing on his website. He doesn't have to.
No, he doesn't have to. But here's a campaign that pledged full disclosure, change of direction, and all of those things.
Yeah.
And technology allows us to, we don't have any trouble reporting.
But are you suggesting that there's anything illegal or improper?
No. I'm saying that history shows us where unlimited amounts of money are in political campaigns, it leads to scandal. I'm not comparing it with, I'm saying this is the first since the Watergate scandal that any candidate for President of the United States, a major party candidate, has broken the pledge to take public financing. We enacted those reforms because of that scandal. We know that when you have unlimited amounts of money, in this case $200 million unreported, and there's already been stories of people who have made small contributions multiple times and all that,
yeah.
I'm saying it's laying a predicate for the future that can be very dangerous.
Oh, damn in hell, something dangerous. A $200 contribution, right, Senator McCrazy? That's a threat to the Republic. It sure enough is. This is like the robocalls linking Obama to domestic terrorism. Now, next, Wallace asked McCain to explain his latest ridiculous charge against Obama that he's a socialist, and then uses a bunch of thinly veiled, aimed at his freakish base code words for communism to describe Obama's economic plan. Wallace says, in your radio address yesterday, you raised the S word, Senator, socialism, but you did it indirectly. So let me ask you for some straight talk. Do you think that Senator Obama is a socialist? Do you think that his plans are socialism?
I think his plans are redistribution of the wealth. He said it himself. We need to spread the wealth around. Now,
is that
that's socialism? That's one of the tenets of socialism.
Woo!
But it's more the liberal left, which he's always been on. He's always been in the left lane
Woo!
Of American politics. That's why he voted 94 times against any tax cuts or for tax increases.
Woo!
That's why he has the most liberal voting record in the United States.
So is
one of the tenets of socialism redistribution of the wealth? Not just socialism, a lot of other liberal and left-wing philosophies. Redistribution of the wealth? I don't believe in it. I believe in wealth creation by Joe the Plumber.
What? I believe in wealth creation by Joe the Plumber? Hey! Hey, halfwit, Joe the Plumber is not a plumber, and his Arizona driver's license was suspended, and he's got tax liens against him, and he just wants to crawl back under his rock if you people would just leave him alone. Joe the Plumber? Oh, my God. And Chris Wallace says, so is it socialism to spread the wealth around? You know what? That's such an innocent statement. Hey, I think we ought to spread the wealth around. Oh, you're a goddamn socialist. Oh, that's redistribution of wealth. Oh, that's Marxism. Go ahead. Don't stop now, McCain. Call him a commie. You know you want to. Rove wants you to. Palin wouldn't know a commie from a moose's ass. So just go ahead and say it. Just say it. Now, watch and wait. His supporters now are going to start adding, he's a commie, to the repertoire of threats and hate speech at McCain-Palin rallies from now on. Just watch. Jesus Christ. We need to spread the wealth around a little bit. John, that's a throwaway phrase. That's just like, hey, let's go out and get snookered tonight. That doesn't mean let's all go out and get drunk. It's just an expression.
And apparently today McCain said that that Obama would turn the IRS into a welfare system.
The IRS?
Yeah, he said he was going to reform the IRS and turn it
because
he's a socialist.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Jesus Christ. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much these people turn my stomach? You know, that's why I take Prilosec every once in a while.
He also, he just kept bringing up Joe the Plumber.
Oh, I know, Joe the Plumber.
With Chris Wallace. Over and over again. And then he said, you know, it's a shame that this poor man can't just stand in his driveway and ask a political candidate a question. And Chris Wallace says, well, I wasn't even going to bring that up.
Yeah.
But since you did, I believe it's your campaign and the media that has turned the spotlight on this poor schmuck, not Obama. And then McCain says, oh, no, it's all Obama. And then he goes on to mention Joe the Plumber five or six more times. It was crazy.
Joe the Plumber. He's kind of like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, isn't he? All right, we have a break here. Stick around. My God, the first hour is over already? How could that be? We have more McCain. Oh, my God, we have four or five more McCain. And then we have a couple of Colin Powell. And hopefully we'll have time tonight for Bridget Speaks. So stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. It is 6:30 past the hour. This is the Malloy program on Nova M Radio. During the last segment, we played for you one of the sound bites of John McCain chatting with Fox News Sunday's host, Chris Wallace. And Wallace said to him, in your radio address, you raised the S word, socialism, but you did it indirectly. So let me ask you some straight talk here. Do you think that Senator Obama is a socialist? And McCain said, and that's what we just played for you, he said, I think his plans are redistribution of the wealth. He said it himself, quote, we need to spread the wealth around, unquote. Now, that's one of the tenets of socialism. Okay, here's the complete Barack Obama quote. And I do believe for folks like me who have worked hard, but frankly also have been lucky, I don't mind paying just a little bit more than the waitress that I just met over there whose things are slow and she can barely make the rent. Because my attitude is that if the economy is good for folks from the bottom up, it's going to be good for everybody. If you got a plumbing business, you're going to be better off if you've got a whole bunch of customers who can afford to hire you. And right now, I think everybody's so pinched that business is bad for everybody. And I think when you spread the wealth around, it's good for everybody. This goddamn McCain. This goddamn McCain. He's talking about redistribution of wealth. No, he's not, Senator. He's talking about people having jobs and getting paychecks. And we spread it around to the person that cuts hair and the person that runs the filling station and the person that does the plumbing or the guy that comes over and rewires your kitchen but the brain dead yokels out there like the woman on the Now program. They hear McCain talk about, he's for redistribution. Oh, son of a bitch. What does that mean? What, quick, Roof, what does that mean? That means he's a communist. Oh, God damn, he's a communist. Is that what that means? Yes. Roof, are you sure? Yes. We need to spread the wealth around. That's redistribution of wealth. Jesus H. Christ. McCain is just morally, ethically bankrupt. And then this clown running with him. Oh, my God. Now, about those robocalls, the McCain campaign is trying to, you know, they're making, trying to tie Obama to terrorists. Remember back in 2000 when McCain beat George Bush's ass in New Hampshire and then it was on to South Carolina and the calls started, the robocalls, and what's his name, the dead one, Jerry Falwell, was involved in it, and the Christian Coalition, and the religious right in South Carolina. Remember that? Huh? And they just nailed McCain on every trumped-up charge they could think of, and it worked. And McCain said 8 years ago, you know, oh, my God, oh, what they did to me. Oh, I would never do that. Oh! Wallace points out the hypocrisy of McCain for first denouncing those kinds of tactics, then using them himself.
One tactic that you've been using in these final days is robocalls, automated telephone calls into people's homes. And let's listen to one of them. Here it is.
You need to know that Barack Obama has worked closely with domestic terrorist Bill Ayers, whose organization bombed the U.S. Capitol, the Pentagon, a judge's home, and killed Americans.
Senator, back in 2000...
That is absolutely true.
Can I ask the question?
But before you do, that is absolutely true. And I don't care about Mr. Ayers, and his wife, who was on the top 10 most wanted list. I care about everybody knowing the relationship between the two of them. That's legitimate. Senator Obama and Bill Ayers served on a board of the Woods Foundation, and they gave $230,000 to Acorn. What's that all about? He said that he was just a guy in the neighborhood. He wasn't just a guy in the neighborhood. We need to know the full extent of that relationship. That is an accurate robocall.
But Senator, back in 2000, when you were the target of robocalls, you called these hate calls,
and
you said the following: I promise you, I have never and will never have anything to do with that kind of political tactic. Now, you've hired the same guy who did the robocalls against you, to do the robocalls against Obama, and the Republican Senator, Susan Collins, the co-chair of your campaign in Maine, has asked you to stop the robocalls. Will you do that?
Of course not. These are legitimate and truthful.
He's just a sick, really old son of a bitch. She's way, way beyond 72. This guy sounds like he's 110 and can't find his ass with both hands. I can't. And Chris Wallace, Jesus, what's happened to Chris Wallace? Has he seen some light somewhere? Is some little crack shown up where the light got into Chris Wallace's Fox News brain? He better be careful. He's going to wind up fired. Chris Wallace. Susan Collins, the co-chair of your campaign in Maine, has asked you to stop the robocalls. Will you do that? Of course not. These are legitimate and truthful. Oh, and by the way, did you know that Barack Obama has two black children? Yes, we know that. Well, there you go. What a sick, miserable old bastard McCain has turned out to be, hasn't he? So now that he's trailing in the polls, does McCain regret putting Palin on the ticket? Wallace asks, Senator, while people are interested in Governor Palin, there seem to be growing doubts about her qualifications to be vice president. According to our latest poll, people now say Palin makes them less likely to vote for you by a margin of 40% to 32%. Back in September, those numbers were exactly reversed. Senator, as a cold political calculation, hasn't Governor Palin become a drag on your ticket?
As a cold political calculation, I could not be more pleased. She has excited and energized our base. She is a direct counterpoint to the liberal feminist agenda for America.
Woo!
She has a wonderful family. She's a reformer. She's a conservative. She's the best thing that could have happened to my campaign and to America. And when I see the enthusiasm and I see the passion that she has aroused, I am so happy. And the fact is, Americans are also beginning to learn that she had ran a state. She's an executive that has 24,000 employees. She took on a governor of her own state, of her own party. She knows energy better than certainly most people in Washington. She's had executive experience. She has knowledge and background, and she also has a compassion and understanding of special needs families. So I couldn't be happier.
Oh, my God, where to begin? She's the direct counterpoint to the liberal feminist agenda for America. What is that, Senator? Is that a woman's right to privacy? Yeah. Is that equal pay for equal work? Yeah. Is that the desire not to be beaten up by a fundamentalist religious freak-ass husband? Yeah. Does that mean that a woman has a right to have a police officer come to her home when she has been beaten up and arrest the son of a bitch? Even if she freaks out and backs down, the police can step in and carry the assaulter off to... Yes. Does it mean a decent education for the woman's children? Yes. Does it mean sex education in the schools, so the kids can understand why they shouldn't get pregnant at 14? Yes. Oh, that liberal feminist agenda. Liberal feminist agenda? Jesus Christ, John. Nobody uses that term anymore. Except the nutball, freaked out, Christ-murdering Christian right. Oh, that's right. I forgot. You've completely whored yourself off, sold yourself off, because you think in doing that, you're going to get elected? Because you think these nutballs on the Christian right are going to put you in office? Is that what you've done? That's the only reason you picked this hoe from Wasilla, and now you pimped her. You keep pimping this poor Sarah Palin who's wandering around thinking she's a rock star, or Tina Fey. Hi, I'm Tina Fey. Don't you know? You betcha. So you're pimping her all over the country, you filthy, dirty old man? And now you say she's a direct counterpoint to the liberal feminist agenda while you're pimping her? Oh, my God. She has a wonderful family. Well, I don't know about her family. I know that one of them has entered the Army to avoid jail time. Another one is pregnant and 16. Another little girl who gives the finger on camera to people who are looking at the family. What the hell are you talking about? Oh, that's right. You have a wonderful family too, don't you? You abusive, deserting son of a bitch. And you see the passion that she has aroused at the rallies? Are you kidding? Those redneck boys standing out there grabbing their crotches and shaking their hand in the air and wiggling their hips at Sarah Palin? Is that what you think? Okay. So you're happy. You're happy. And she has a compassion and understanding of special needs families and how to cut their funding, right? So you couldn't be more happier or more deluded.
Seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, more of Mike Malloy.
Twenty-two past the hour. Finally, as far as McCain, sound bites in this program, finally, Wallace wants to get McCain's reaction to Colin Powell's endorsement of Barack Obama. Chris Wallace says, General Colin Powell has just said that he's going to vote for Barack Obama. He says he meets the standard of being a successful president. He says that Senator McCain is unsure about how to deal with the economy, and he does not feel that Sarah Palin is ready to be commander-in-chief. Your reaction? Oh, and one of the key lines to your campaign, Senator, has been that Obama's not ready to lead. Here is Colin Powell in his endorsement saying his is. He is.
Well, I've always admired and respected General Powell. We're longtime friends. This doesn't come as a surprise. We have a respectful disagreement, and I think the American people will pay close attention to our message for the future and keeping America secure.
Have you even dealt in your mind with the possibility that you could lose, and could you live with that?
Oh, sure. I don't dwell on it, but look, I've had a wonderful life. I have to go back and live in Arizona and be in the United States Senate representing them and with a wonderful family and daughters and sons that I'm so proud of and a life that's been blessed. I'm the luckiest guy you have ever interviewed and will ever interview. I'm the most fortunate man on earth. And I thank God for it every single day. God.
So if the world turns an unfortunate way on November 4th, don't feel sorry for John McCain?
Don't feel sorry for John McCain, and John McCain will be concentrating on not feeling sorry for himself.
And you might just be president.
You never know.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do, John. You do know. I've had a wonderful life. I'm the luckiest guy you have ever interviewed and will ever interview. I'm the most fortunate man on earth. Really? Nothing, a little hint there at toxic narcissism? Just a tad? Oh, never mind. All right, now, former Secretary of State Colin Powell begins to explain on Meet the Press with Tom Brokaw why he's endorsing Barack Obama for president over fellow Republican and longtime friend John McCain.
In the case of Mr. McCain, I found that
Mister?
He was a little unsure as to how to deal with the economic problems that we were having. And almost every day there was a different approach to the problem, and that concerned me. It's got the sensing that he didn't have a complete grasp of the economic problems that we had. And I was also concerned at the selection of Governor Palin. She's a very distinguished woman, and she's to be admired. But at the same time, now that we have had a chance to watch her for some 7 weeks, I don't believe she's ready to be President of the United States, which is the job of the Vice President. And so that raised some question in my mind as to the judgment that Senator McCain made.
You mean you're afraid he's insane? General Powell, I have lots of bones to pick with you, which I'll never get a chance to. But look, you have to understand that John McCain didn't choose Sarah Palin. What John McCain did was package up his soul and sell it to Satan. Satan is manifest in the United States right now, if you believe all this stuff, in the Christian right. The Christian right, politically and religiously, in this country, is the fiat of Satan. This is where Satan resides. This is where he is causing trouble and wreaking havoc. So John McCain made a pact with the devil, the Christian right. They promised him the presidency if he would promise them to put Sarah Palin on the ticket. He did. They can't.
right-wing talk radio, you found a home with Mike Malloy.
Let it be, let it be. 26 before the hour. Now, Colin Powell's endorsement of Obama is certainly got the attention of the chattering classes and the political class in this country. I don't know how much effect it's going to have on voters. Former Republican Speaker of the House and hate monger and serial adulterer Newt Gingrich told ABC News, quote, "What that just did in one soundbite is it eliminated the experience argument," end quote. You know, the argument that Barack Obama doesn't have experience. Unlike you, huh, Newt? Joe Biden celebrated the endorsement. He told a rally in Tacoma that it should put to rest any question about Obama's readiness to be commander-in-chief. Biden said, quote, "Thank you. Thank you, Colin. Today we're proud, and I mean this sincerely, very proud to add another critical vision in American public policy and military affairs for the past 25 years to the endorsement list of those who have joined our ticket." David Gergen, I don't know what the hell Gergen is. He's a political chameleon, aide to both Republican and Democratic presidents. He said it was the most important endorsement of the campaign. And an unnamed Republican official told Politico.com, quote, "This Powell endorsement is the nail in the coffin," end quote. Not just because he endorsed Barack, but the indictment he laid out of the McCain campaign. And it goes on and on. Susan Eisenhower, the granddaughter of Dwight David, was busy stumping for Barack Obama in Southwest Florida. She said today, quote, "I'd like to associate myself with all the points he made." So Colin Powell continued his rationale for backing Obama over insane McCain, in part because of the dirty tricks the McCain camp is using against Obama by insinuating he's connected to terrorists.
And I've also been disappointed, frankly, by some of the approaches that Senator McCain has taken recently, or his campaign has, on issues that are not really central to the problems that the American people are worried about. This Bill Ayers situation that's been going on for weeks became something of a central point of the campaign.
Uh-huh.
But Mr. McCain says that he's a washed-out terrorist. But then why do we keep talking about him? And why do we have these robocalls going on around the country trying to suggest that because of this very, very limited relationship that Senator Obama has had with Mr. Ayers, somehow Mr. Obama is tainted? What they're trying to connect him to is some kind of terrorist feelings, and I think that's inappropriate.
Yeah, well, most thinking people would. General. Powell concluded his reasoning about his endorsement with these valid points about the composition of the Supreme Court and his, Powell's, disgust over the smearing of Muslims that the McCain campaign has attempted.
I look at these kinds of approaches to the campaign, and they trouble me. And the party has moved even further to the right, and Governor Palin has indicated a further rightward shift.
Uh-huh.
I would have difficulty with two more conservative appointments to the Supreme Court, but that's what we'd be looking at in a McCain administration. I'm also troubled by not what Senator McCain says, but what members of the party say, and it is permitted to be said, such things as, well, you know that Mr. Obama is a Muslim. Well, the correct answer is he is not a Muslim. He's a Christian. He's always been a Christian. But the really right answer is, what if he is? Is there something wrong with being a Muslim in this country? The answer is no, that's not America. Is there something wrong with some 7-year-old Muslim American kid believing that he or she could be president? Yet I have heard senior members of my own party drop this suggestion. He's a Muslim, and he might be associated with terrorists. This is not the way we should be doing it in America.
Okay, you're right, General Powell. It's not the way we should be doing things. And it is a slur against an entire group of people. And certainly anyone with even a drop, literally a drop of African blood in their system would understand how terrible that is. White people don't get that, Colin. White people just don't get that. So I think your point is going to be lost on white folk. Most rational points about Barack Obama's candidacy are lost on white people who simply can't deal with the fact that, what? A black guy's running for president? Just can't handle it. Can't handle it, General Powell. But aside from that, the party's move to the right that you comment on, or the conservative appointments to the Supreme Court that you find scary. General Powell, what have you done? Seriously now, I'm not trying to be a smartass here, General. What have you done in your post-military career when you have served in these right-wing governments of the United States that have been moving further and further and further to the right? What have you done? What stand have you taken? When you realized, and I'm going to cut you some slack here, General, when you realized that the story you gave the United Nations regarding Iraq's weapons of mass destruction was phony, if you realized it after the fact, why didn't you do what Cyrus Vance did to Jimmy Carter? Cyrus Vance was Jimmy Carter's Secretary of State. And when the rescue attempt was made to get the Iranian hostages free, without Cyrus Vance knowing about it, he resigned. He resigned. He was a Democrat. He resigned from a Democratic administration. He said, no, hell no. What, are you crazy? I'm not playing this. Why didn't you do that, General Powell? Your moral authority, my friend, is a little bit wilted for skeptical liberals like me. Sorry, pal, but you had chance after chance after chance to stand up and kick these neocon sons of bitches right in the groin, and you wouldn't do it. So, now you are going to... I mean, good for you that you endorsed Barack Obama, and like I say, you endorsed him for the right reasons. McCain is a psychopath. Sarah Palin is a whore being pimped by the psychopath to all the bad elements in this country. Come on, we know it. You people listening to this program, I take offense at my use of the W word. What would you call her? What would you call her? John McCain is pimping her all over the country. What do you call a woman who is being pimped, or a man who is being pimped? What do you call that? That's right. You call that a whore. No offense to sex workers. So, General, you had many, many opportunities to stand up to the neo-fascist right in this country, and you didn't. So, whatever. On a completely different topic, Tom Brokaw asked General Powell about the infamous weapons of mass destruction mythology that General Powell sold to the UN Security Council, thus enabling Bush's illegal invasion and occupation and murder in Iraq. Brokaw says, removing the weapons of mass destruction from the equation because we now know that they did not exist, was it then a war of necessity or just a war of choice?
Without the weapons of mass destruction present, as conveyed to us by the intelligence community in the most powerful way, I don't think there would have been a war. It was a reason we took to the public. It was a reason we took the American people to the Congress, who supported it on that basis. And it's the presentation I made to the United Nations. Without those weapons of mass destruction, then Iraq did not present to the world the kind of threat that it did if it had weapons of mass destruction.
Well, but General Powell, you were the foreign minister of the United States. That's what we call Secretary of State in this country, sir. And you want to sit there on Tom Brokaw's toy program and pretend what? That you didn't know? If you didn't know that what you were saying to the UN and consequently, or by extension, the American people, and by further extension, the people of the world, if you didn't know that was a lie, what in the hell were you doing as Secretary of State? If you did know it was a lie, which I tend to believe, General, then damn you. You've got some of the blood and gore and brain matter and skull pieces and destroyed families and lives and death and destruction smeared on your $2,000 suit, don't you, General? You want us to believe you were ignorant, or you want us to believe that you believed the lies? Which is it? There's only two choices, General. And guess what? Either way, you lose. And by the way, the powerful proof provided by the so-called intelligence community that you took to the UN was an essay, General, taken offline, General, from a post-grad student, General.
Now learn Coke, Lemon, Pepsi, Friends, episodes on DVD. I went to see the doctor of psychiatry. Weapons of mass destruction finally broke me. He said, act your age, don't be afraid.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more of Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. Got an email from John here I want to share with you. Now, at the beginning of the program, I was talking about going up to Dahlonega, Georgia for the Gold Rush Days Festival, an art fair, which was wonderful. Had a great time, except for the crazy McCain-Palin supporters. John writes, subject line says North Georgia liberal. He writes, I heard your show when you spoke about North Georgia. I was born and raised in North Georgia, and I've never voted for a Republican. And if you run up to Blue Bridge or Blairsville, you will see several billboard-sized Obama signs. There are plenty of informed folks among the outspoken dumbasses up here. I wish more of your kind would come up and engage these idiots. I've done my best to challenge the norms in the minds of my friends here, but I feel it is an uphill battle. My parents are also from here and have never voted for a Republican. My grandfather was a former Democratic mayor of my hometown here. My town voted 90% Democrat locally and for the Republican in the national election. Just want to tell you that you aren't alone when you come up here, and you're always welcome. Thanks, John. Yeah, that's the dichotomy. Thanks for writing, John. That's the dichotomy, and a lot of people who are not from here or haven't been here for 40 years like I have don't quite... Okay, 35, 36 years, 37 years. Don't quite understand. You know, I can say those things about Dahlonega. And by the way, the two towns he mentioned, Blue Ridge and Blairsville, are even further into the North Georgia Mountains than Dahlonega. Hell, Dahlonega is getting to the point where it's almost an Atlanta suburb. Well, all right, 90 miles away, but you know what I'm saying. But that's the weird dichotomy. You can find in the North Georgia Mountains pockets of and big pockets of absolute liberalism, kind of the sort that you find in, like, for example, Vermont, kind of a don't tread on me liberalism. Granted, there's a streak of libertarianism in the liberalism that you'll find in the North Georgia Mountains, but it's not the ugly kind of libertarianism, if you know what I mean. And, you know, Bob Barr, who is running as the Libertarian Party candidate for president, represents to a certain degree some of that weird libertarianism that I find so distasteful. But he also represents some of the good part. It's difficult. It is very difficult. I stereotype white Southerners. I've been in the South altogether for about 45 years, and I'm white. So does that make me a white Southerner? Probably people who didn't know me would say, yeah, you're a white Southerner. You're a liberal white Southerner. There are a lot of white liberals in the South, just like there are a lot of black conservatives. People don't get that. People don't understand that from outside this region. So John's email is, you know, he's absolutely right on. I have a good friend who lives in Blue Ridge, Georgia, who used to be a senior editor at Look Magazine. back in the day when Look magazine was publishing pictures of the Freedom Riders coming through the South and having the Greyhound buses burned. And he and his wife live in Blue Ridge. I won't call his name. He's another one like me. He's liberal with a gun. He's, matter of fact, he's got several of them. But he's an absolute, you know what I'm talking about, Gabby. He's absolute, dyed in the wool, always will be liberal. With just a hint, maybe, a hint of libertarianism. And it's hard to explain. I get a lot of emails from people that say, you know, why do you stay in the South? Why don't you get the hell out of there? The quick answer, I like it here. I really do. Like I've said this before, like Leonard Cohen says about in one of his songs about the U.S., I love the country, but I can't stand the scene. Unless you have really traveled in and lived in the South, for all of its weirdness, it's kind of hard to understand what there is here in the South that makes people want to be here. And it has changed dramatically, at least overtly. Covertly, no, it's still a racist sump hole. I understand that. But so is Chicago, right? Come on. So is Indianapolis. Come on, be honest. So is my original hometown, Toledo, Ohio. Come on. You know what I'm talking about. So anyway, John, I get it. I really do. I really do. I understand what you're saying. But my shock was a personal, kind of an internal thing. As much as I demonize these Palin Bush supporters, as much as I really think that they are brain-dead religious nutcases, you know, when you see 8 or 9 or 12 of them walking down the street, and I don't like to use the term little old ladies because some of these women are younger than I am. But, you know, just fluttering about, I said to Kathy, oh, my God, it does look like a little clutch of quail running down the road. You know, they did with their pink Obama-McCain T-shirts on. But I'm sure they're good people. I'm sure if they were confronted with an incident that required some sort of instant human response, they would come through. You know, the macro world is the one that drives them crazy. The micro world, they're probably, you know, decent people. I'm sure that within their own community, they do those things that one would consider good. And I don't think a lot of these, I don't think a certain number of white people who live in the North Georgia mountains are all that racist. They may be racialist, but, you know, if given the situation where just reaching out their hand to somebody is going to make a difference, I don't think a lot of these white people hesitate if the hand they're reaching out to is black or brown. So that's kind of the really weirdness, the really weird part, I should say, of being here in Georgia, in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains, which is where I live. You go a little bit further north, you get into the mountains, and it just kind of hits you that the contradictions are so strong. I'm getting real frustrated. I really am. Thanks, John, for writing. We'll be back after the break. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Welcome back. It is almost 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy program on Nova M Radio. We are not Air America, okay? I still get emails from people saying, you're my favorite program on Air America. No, I have no association with Air America whatsoever. The station you may be hearing this program on probably carries Air America programming and Nova M programming. And some of those stations identify themselves as the Air America affiliate, but... Anyway, not that that matters. Prairie 2 writes, hey, Mike, scientists have discovered it is no longer necessary to test drinking water for contamination. The levels of lead, mercury, and perchlorate can be determined in an area's wells simply by counting the number of McCain-Palin signs along the street. That's cold, Prairie 2. That's cold, but it's also very, very true. There's a... community in Carroll County, Mississippi. It's called the Teoc, T-E-O-C community. And that's where the ancestors of Senator John McCain owned enslaved Africans on a plantation. Remember, McCain said his family never owned slaves. That's, you know, total lie. But lately, black members of that family, white members of that family, and mixed race members of that family get together every 2 years, the McCains, and it's called their coming home reunion. And they do it on the land where the plantation operated 150 years ago or thereabouts. Some of McCain's black family members say they are not sure exactly where they fall on the family tree, but they do know this. They're either descendants of the McCain family slaves or children. Or of the children, I should say, that the McCains fathered with their slaves. You know, that was the white thing, white male thing. You had your slaves to work, but you also had your slaves, you know, going down to the quarters at night meant you were going to go out and rape a black woman. And, of course, the black woman could do nothing, nor could any member of the slave community except deal with it. Well, as a result of all those rapes... you know, a lot of mixed race children were born, and this is true in the McCain family. Now, over the last 15 years, according to the, is this the Miami Herald that has a story? I think it's the Miami Herald, but according to the article, for the past 15 years or so, members, the black members and white members of the McCain family have met on the plantation several times. But one invited member, one invited guest has never shown up, and that's Senator McCain. Charles McCain Jr., a distant cousin of McCain, who Charles McCain is black, said, quote, why he hasn't come as anybody's guest, I think the best I can come up with is he doesn't have time, or he has just distanced himself, or it doesn't mean that much to him, end quote. Now, some of the relatives are not as generous as Charles McCain Jr. is. Lily McCain, another cousin who is black, said the Republican presidential nominee is trying to hide his past and refuses to accept the family's history. This McCain, Lily McCain, who's 56, said, quote, after hearing him in 2000 claim his family never owned slaves, I sent him an email. I told him no matter how much he denies it will not make it untrue and he should accept this and embrace it, end quote. And she said, Senator McCain, of course, never responded to her email. The reason that so many McCain's relatives are supporting Obama, according to what they're saying here, is not because they share a racial identity, but because the Republican Party has so screwed up the entire country. Lily McCain, who is a professor of psychology at Mott Community College in Flint, Michigan, said, quote, I'm absolutely supporting Obama. And it's not because he's black. It's because he's the best person at this time in our history, end quote. Joyce McCain, who is Lily McCain's sister, the professor's sister, and Joyce McCain is a retired engineering manager with General Motors. She lives in Grand Blanc, Michigan. She said, quote, we simply need to look at the economy, and McCain's campaign does not take us there. He's my cousin, but we are in dire times right now, and people are hurting. Senator Obama is clearly the best choice to be president. Now, Charles McCain and his wife, Teresa, who still live in the Teoc community. Now, it may be pronounced Teok. Somebody's going to say, come on, Malone. It's T-E-O-C. How would you say it? I say Teok. But Charles McCain and Teresa McCain started the reunions about a decade ago. Charles is the deacon of Mitchell Springs Baptist Church, which is the only black house of worship in the area. When Teresa McCain and Charles started the family reunions in the late 80s, only black family members attended, but as word spread about these gatherings, white members of the McCain family got involved too. And today the reunion has expanded to the point where it's become a community event. Their website, teokfamilyreunion.ning.com, has pictures, postings, and other information about the family gatherings. Don't try to go there. You have to register, and if you're not a family member, you're not going to get in. I already tried. So, anyway. The McCain campaign, I love this part, did not respond to repeated questions about John McCain's black relatives or about his relatives of both races who support Obama. A media liaison with the McCain campaign said the senator was aware of his African-American relatives but asked the reporter to put his questions into writing and someone would get back to him. After reporters sent questions in writing and remade repeated follow-up phone calls, neither McCain nor anyone else from the campaign responded. Well, of course not. But based on information obtained by the South Florida Times, John McCain has numerous black and mixed-race relatives who were born on or in the area of the McCain Plantation. Senator John McCain's great-great-grandfather, William Alexander McCain, born in 1812, died 1863, fought for the Confederacy. He owned a 2,000-acre plantation named Waverly in Teoc. The McCain family dealt in the slave trade and, according to official records, held at least 52 slaves on the family's plantation. The enslaved Africans were likely used as servants for labor and for breeding more slaves. William McCain's son, that would be Senator John McCain's great-grandfather, John Sidney McCain, born 1851, died 1934, eventually assumed the duty of running the family plantation. Bill McCain IV, who is a white McCain cousin, and his wife Edwina are the current owners of the land. Both told the South Florida Times that they attend the reunions. They also said the McCain campaign had asked them not to speak to the media about the reunions or about why the senator has never acknowledged the family gatherings. And, of course, in addition to not claiming his rainbow family members, McCain has taken several positions, you know this, on issues that have put him at odds with members of the larger black community. When he was running for the Republican nomination in 2000, he got on the side of protesters who were calling for the rebel battle flag to be removed from the South Carolina State House, and he changed his mind later. He said that the flag was a symbol of heritage. He said at the same time, quote, "I have ancestors who have fought for the Confederacy, none of whom owned slaves," end quote. See, he's a lying son of a bitch about everything. You know, we have a way of dealing with liars in the South. We, listen to me. I've been here for 40 years, and I'm still not accepted. As black folk accept me here in the South, but, you know, white folk don't. I can go up in those mountains that John emailed me about, and I don't care how many pickup trucks I drive or how many over and under shotguns I have or how many .30 caliber rifles, still. Anyway, McCain voted against the Dr. King holiday in 1983 when he was in the U.S. House. When he arrived in the Senate in 86, he joined with Senator Jesse Helms in opposing the holiday again. He voted in 1994 to cut funding to the commission that marketed the holiday. You know, McCain has never let any doubt exist about his racism. A lot of people say, well, he's not a racist. Yeah, well, what do you call that? What do you call that? If Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had been white, do you think that, and had worked for the rights of white people, do you think Senator McCain would have fought against a holiday for him? Yeah, right. As we walk on by, and we fly just like birds of a feather, I won't tell no lie. All
ready for a liberal helping of truth? It's more of Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. I hope I can get to your phone calls tonight. We still have some things to do here. We have Bridget Speaks coming up after the next break. Email here from Kyle, who is the he runs the website ghostofwellstone.blogspot.com. ghostofwellstone.blogspot.com. Kyle writes, Mike, I'm really troubled by events the last 5 or 6 days. It's like some of the worst pages of our history books have become today's news. From the Wisconsin woman beat up for knocking on doors just to have some lunatic thrown to the ground to start pounding on her head, to the half-wit in Ohio saying his Obama effigy is a Halloween decoration, to the insane Michelle Bachmann's comments, to the email and voicemails that Acorn has received saying they, quote, should die, end quote, and quote, Obama should be hung because he's a N-word, end quote. For the love of God, Mike, we're going so far backward that efforts from the leaders of the 60s to the upcoming upbringing I had from my mother to the diverse way I live my life has become a non-factor. Mike, this crap is actually scaring me. There was a time when I would have said most of us evolved and are just above these idiots, but now they're coming out in droves. WTF? With the respect many Americans still have for Colin Powell, I hope his endorsement and words have an impact. And oddly, even my new Republican boss agrees with me. Kyle. I don't want to be the skunk at the picnic. I really don't. But I can't plug into the respect for Colin Powell. I can't. I just can't do it. Again, he was Secretary of State. If he didn't know what was going on, once he found out, why didn't he resign? I mean, immediately. I don't mean wait until the end of Bush's first term. But Colin Powell has a history prior to that. You know, he was what I've had friends in the military tell me, he was considered an apple polisher. He was determined to advance his career, even to the point where when reports started coming in about the My Lai massacre, Colin Powell, who was a lieutenant colonel at the time, I think, did everything in his power to delay the report. Not necessarily, if you consider that a cover-up, okay, I don't like to use that particular term, but he did everything in his power to delay the report from getting to the media or getting back home, to the extent that William Calley and Medina, was that what the Captain Medina and Lieutenant William Calley, who is Lieutenant Calley, wound up as running a jewelry store down here in, I think, in Columbus, Columbus, Georgia? Was it Columbus, Georgia? And I think he recently keeled over a heart attack. He was way overweight. Maybe still alive. I don't know. But Colin Powell made sure that the report of the slaughter, you know, the villagers of My Lai, Pinkville, I think they called it, that were rounded up and forced into a ditch and then machine gunned, not unlike what Mark Twain wrote about, where it concerned our adventures in the Philippines in the Spanish-American War. Same thing. So Colin Powell has a history of putting his career first and his country fifth, 20th, 80th, somewhere way, 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 way over here. And okay, that's fine. A lot of people do that. I do that. Because if I were serious, I would be in the street every day. But Colin Powell was a four-star general. He was chairman of the Joint Chiefs. He was Secretary of State. I mean, he's had this, on the surface, illustrious career. And yet he's had opportunity after opportunity to stand up for the right thing. And as far as I know, in every instance that I can think of, he has failed. And the one image, the lasting image I have of Colin Powell is not his performance at the UN as he sold or attempted to sell the rest of the world on George Bush's murder, in which Powell was complicit. That's not the image I have that sticks in my mind that I can't remove. The image I have of Colin Powell that will be with me forever was Colin Powell up on a stage in Hanoi, Vietnam, dressed up like I believe he was the one, wasn't he, Kathy, dressed up with the coconuts for women's breasts and a hula skirt on, sashaying his ass across the stage. Now, he may have had a different, I'm sure you can find the YouTube video somewhere. But there was Colin Powell dancing like a fool at some sort of event in Hanoi, Vietnam. I think about the 58,000 plus names on that wall in D.C. and the 2.5 million dead Vietnamese, all because the United States decided to destroy a country that had been our ally. Oh, Christ, I don't even want to go there. That's the image I have of Colin Powell, dancing like a jerk on a stage in Hanoi, Vietnam. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Justice and the American way. It's more of Mike Malloy.
Hammer time. Go with the flow. It is dead. If you can't move the nipple, you're probably on dance away. Keep your hands in the air. Bust me with your fingers through your hair.
26 before the hour. I got a correction here. Apparently the picture of Piper Palin, the 7-year-old daughter of Alaska Governor Sarah Palin, that I referenced tonight, little kid giving the finger to somebody. It's not true. Snopes has exposed it. It was a Photoshop. The kid is holding up two fingers and a peace sign. So retraction. Steve in Omaha pointed that out to me. You never know what was real anymore, do you? Bob Kincaid, headonradio.com, writes, Mike, want to know the funniest part about the whole McCain family-owned slave story? In that story read tonight, it quoted McCain feigning ignorance of his family's sordid history of human bondage. There's only one problem. McCain was confronted with the information as far back as February 2000, and yet the campaign still is doing the aw shucks routine, and no one is calling him on it. What's more, McCain's multi-great-grandpap was killed in 1863. He was a cavalry member. That was, of course, an elite position as compared with the butternut soldiers who walked barefoot from Shiloh to Gettysburg. Given the location and formation of that cavalry unit, it's not unreasonable to speculate that Grandpap McCain may have served under General Nathan Bedford Forrest, the father of the Klan. Is it fair, then, to ask why McCain's ancestors palled around with terrorists? Bob. You know, Bob Kincaid is another one like Tom Hartman. I wish I was as smart as these two guys. Thanks, Bob. And guess what? It is time once again for Bridget Speaks. Hi, Mike. I'm sending this note from the wilds of Pennsylvania. I've been writing it for the past week. From Philadelphia to the Ohio shores of Lake Erie, as John and I have wandered across this part of the country trying to navigate our way through the cognitive dissonance of the beauty of the landscape versus the ugliness of the politics. We've been here because we were in Philadelphia for a fairy festival and then went to Ohio to visit family. As long as we were going to be in this part of the world, we wanted to explore a couple of things. One, what information do people have access to here? And two, what kinds of stories do people create for themselves to make it okay to support Republicans in this time? We found some answers to the first, none to the second. In our mostly blue corner of the world in Oregon, We have a few knuckle-dragging Neanderthals and a few more intellectually bankrupt so-called conservatives, but for the most part, the population ranges from a little right of center to far left. So it's intriguing to take a couple of days to drive across Pennsylvania to Port Clinton, Ohio, especially in this time of building intensity before the election. It was particularly interesting because Obama was in Philadelphia while we were there and went from there to Toledo, Ohio, so we were sort of following his trail. Our first afternoon in Port Clinton, in fact, we got into a conversation in a restaurant parking lot with the attorney for the County Democratic Party, who told us excitedly where Obama was staying and that you could go hang out in the park by his hotel and he'd come out and talk to you. He's just 50 miles away, he told us excitedly. We had to admit the idea of having 5 minutes to tell Obama what we thought he ought to be focusing on was tempting. As we drove across northern Pennsylvania, we found a land of rolling hills ablaze with more shades of orange, red, and gold than I've seen since my days of autumn drives along Lake Superior when I was a kid. We wandered a bit through small towns, had lunch at local diners, stayed at a motel off the beaten track. I grant you that this was a brief and superficial foray, but we were curious to explore firsthand the so-called battleground territory. Neither of us can understand how anyone with half a brain could even consider voting for McCain, never mind Palin, so we wanted to see if we could stalk some of these creatures in their natural habitat. Everywhere we went, we found pleasant, helpful people who seemed like they could be good neighbors, but then we both have white skin and are fairly non-confrontational. No one talked politics, so we have no idea whether these kind-seeming people were really part of the hate squads. But what we found were McCain-Palin signs on the sweeping lawns of the manor houses and Obama-Biden signs in front of the small, close-together clapboard houses along the main street. I've never so clearly seen the class warfare split in this country. And we tried to see what we would know about the political world if we lived here and did not use the Internet to reach out elsewhere. It's really dismal. The reason there are so many low-information voters, so-called, is because there is such a limited amount of information available, unless you hunt for it and know what to look for. We stayed with a friend outside Cleveland who does not have cable TV and only dial-up Internet access. He reads the newspaper every morning and watches evening network news at night. After a couple of days, I was ready to jump out of my skin. I felt like life was happening in another dimension to which I had no access. It was really terrifying. Speaking of which, I came up with a theory driving through such beautiful country while listening to the radio. The only programming available is sports talk, Jesus talk, oldies hits, and of course, hate talk. We listened to as much of it as we could stomach, just trying to get a sense of what the average person who lives in an area like this has to draw from for information if they don't work really hard at getting a variety of news sources. As I reached for the mute button one more time, screaming something about, "My head is going to explode if I let any more of this garbage in," I had an aha moment. I need to digress for a moment. We introduced a new product at the Philadelphia show called Fairy Wise, the kit. It gives you the physical and ritual pieces needed to build a doorway that will let you see through the veil into the fairy otherworld. The thinking behind the kit is that when we're kids, our brains are able to process whatever non-ordinary reality things we might see, like fairies, because we haven't yet limited our capacity to see to consensus reality. The theory is that if we can retrain our brains to process what our eyes probably see just outside of our normal vision, perhaps we can begin to see the multidimensional world around us again. Listening to the hate radio mile after mile brought us a parallel thought. Are other modes of perception susceptible to the same consensus shaping of our brains? Are traits like kindness, empathy, generosity affected by the dominant airwaves around us? When all of our emotional pathways are inundated, day after day, week after week, year after year, with fear and suspicion of anyone or any idea that is not like us, do our brains lose the capability of seeing what's inside the surprise package someone just laid on our doorstep? The right-wing hate machine is much worse than we often give it credit for. I think that the culture of hate that has been created by the Lee Atwater virus of the world is lethal. It has created a race of people with no soul. Empty shells whose outsides resemble people we used to know but whose insides have been turned to dust and who are regularly filled with the bile and gangrene the hate mongers spew into this beautiful world from whatever slime-infested hole in the universe they grew out of. If you can't get a fairy face in a kaleidoscope of colored leaves in a northern Pennsylvania forest in the fall, of course, you can't imagine the hope offered by a skinny half-black kid with big ears and a funny name. If we are to survive as a race, There must be room in our vision for the hope of a change of seasons. If Obama actually wins this election and lives to serve as president, perhaps that act will finally begin the process of vaccinating this culture against the poison. And maybe we'll find that we're a lot closer than 50 miles away. All the best. Bridget. Another episode of Bridget Speaks. You can visit Bridget's work and her husband John by going to fairywoodland.com. Fairywoodland.com. Take a look at some of that stuff there. It is amazing. Her husband John is one of the most fantastic artists I think I've ever come in contact with. I met these people on one of the trips to Sacramento back when Sacramento still found it sensible to have liberal radio programming. Great people. So if you get a chance, go to fairywoodland.com and check out the artwork there. It's unbelievable stuff. You still believe in that, don't you? Molly is at that stage in her life where she so believes in fairies. And she asked me one time if I had ever seen a fairy, and I had to tell her one time up in the, North Georgia Mountains, when her big brother, who is now 30, was about 5 years old. He and I were camping up there, and I've told her a couple of times, I swear, Molly, out of the corner of my eye, it was just about dusk when the fairies are waking up, and there was a movement, and I turned very quick, and I thought I saw the flash of little silver wings. And she looks at me, and she says, "You did? I want to see a fairy. I want to see a fairy." And, I just tell her, fairies are very protective of themselves now. There was a time when they lived in harmony with humans, elves, fairies, trolls, human beings. But those days are long gone. See, someday she'll read the Ring Trilogy and she'll understand all that. But Molly wants to believe in fairies so strongly. And so I encourage it. And the problem is, since my mother died, I've got nobody to encourage me to believe in fairies. Ten before the hour. She makes the sign of a teaspoon, he makes the sign of a wave. Thanks to the crew tonight. Ian Huff, who engineered and answered your calls. And I'm sorry I didn't get to your calls tonight. I do apologize. Hopefully Ian made my excuses. Also, thanks to Ben Birch, our podcast manager and technical advisor, Sharon Gordy, our military affairs correspondent, Bruce Enberg, economic policy advisor, and this program's ethical advisors, although they laugh when I say this, are Bob Alexander and Bridget Wolf. The executive producer is Catherine Bay. strange. A couple of people have written about this. The just the strangeness. It is so difficult, isn't it? I mean, really, to live in a place that still looks beautiful. I mean, we don't know what's happening to the aquifers. We don't know really what's happening where it concerns all the poisons that have been pumped into the environment by these destructive corporations. But if you just look, don't get too deep, just look. You know, whether you live on the West Coast or somewhere in the middle of the country, in North Georgia Mountains, around the Great Lakes, Adirondacks, somewhere in Florida, Gulf Coast. I mean, when you take a look and just kind of block out the things that you know are not all that pretty, you see a really nice place to be, in a place that needs an awful lot of repair work, but it can be done. You know, the so-called infrastructure, the so-called cleanup, I don't think we're beyond that point yet, where it can't be cleaned up and fixed up and painted up and made whole again. I don't think. But if you listen to the people who live here, so many of the people, I'm not talking about you, but if you listen to some of the people that live here, in the mountains of North Georgia or outside Seattle or someplace in Mesa, Arizona or Dallas or you know, maybe some little burg in upstate New York, wherever it is. If you listen to some of these people, they're just total ignorance. And I maintain it's willful ignorance. Nobody has an excuse for being stupid these days or being ignorant. Nobody. There's just no reason. There's no excuse anymore. You know, you can buy a computer and get wired into the system for a couple $300. That can be done. It's a matter of priorities. We all know this. We know this. And then once you're wired in, you can find things out. Oh, I don't know. A lot of things you find out are going to be lies and deceptive and trickery. And okay. So maybe willful ignorance, if it's not malignant, is not a bad thing. But the willful ignorance I'm talking about is so malignant, so destructive, so anti-human, so evil. And you hear it at these McCain-Palin rallies. And you see two candidates, one for president, one for vice president, on the Republican Party who won't repudiate it, who won't say. The only time I've seen McCain do anything is when he snatched the microphone away from the woman who said that Barack Obama's an Arab, as if she was saying he's a leper or he has typhoid or he's a vampire or he's a ghoul. You know, McCain takes it. No, he's not. He's not Arab. He's a good American. Aside from the inherent ugliness directed in both those statements against Arabs, whether they're Arab-American or Arab-Arab, it doesn't make any difference. Aside from that ugliness, you know, McCain was nonplussed. He didn't know what the... What? You're confronting the Frankenstein monster you created, John. Huh? You lying old bastard, you. Isn't it funny, these southern politicians who are so deeply and unmistakably and irrevocably linked to their dusky brethren, the African Americans, or the Africans that their families bought and sold like so much furniture. And it's all intertwined, linked. And especially here in the South, I don't know why white people in the South don't get that. You know, they talk about family, being family-oriented. Okay, be family-oriented. But how many families in this country are black and white? Huh? How many? Obama is just he's like the template for that thing, that idea. There he is. Take a look. One parent black, one parent white. Woo, son of a bitch. How many Americans have that somewhere back in their background? especially if your family has been here for 150 or 200 years. I mean, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. You know, I love the fall. I just love autumn. I love the colors. I love the transitory nature of everything. Everything is ready to fade away in this blazing burst of color, but you know it's going to come back in another blazing burst of color. And it's just so poignant to travel around the country, whether you're doing like Bridget did, traveling across the United States, or like Kate in the Desert does, who travels from her home down to Mississippi to help out again, or like I did in North Georgia Mountains. It doesn't make any difference. You travel around and you look at all this stuff and you think, Jesus, God, we can be so much better than what we're being. Right? Okay, I know. I'm supposed to be a political talk show host, not some tin horn philosopher or moralist. I apologize. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.